May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a 1972 children's storybook called Hope for the Flowers by Trina Paulus. Some of you may be familiar with it. Maybe you read it to your children. Maybe you're reading it to your grandchildren. It's the story primarily about two caterpillars who become friends. Stripe is the first one, and Stripe has been off on this quest of going across the land and comes upon this mountain of caterpillars, and Stripe thinks there must be something up there worth seeing. So he gets in the mound of caterpillars and tries to work his way to the top. While he's working his way to the top, he encounters another caterpillar named Yellow. And the two of them work very hard to get to the top of this pile of caterpillars, but they keep getting pushed back. They're just one caterpillar on top of another, climbing, trying to get as high as they can so they can see what they don't know. Finally, Yellow gives up and says, you know, I'm going to let go of this. This is a futile effort. But Stripe continues the quest. So meanwhile, Yellow goes back down and comes upon a third caterpillar who is hanging from this mass of, she's not sure what, but it looks like this poor caterpillar is entangled in this mess. It's this hairy collection of stuff hanging from the branch of a tree. And Yellow says to this other caterpillar, you seem to be in trouble. Can I help? No, my dear, he tells her. I have to do this to become a butterfly. And she says, tell me, sir, what is a butterfly? And he says, it's what you are meant to become. It flies with beautiful wings and joins the earth to heaven. It drinks only nectar from the flowers and carries the seeds of love from one flower to another. Without butterflies, the world would soon have few flowers. Butterflies are hope for the flowers. Yellow thinks maybe she might like to become a butterfly, but how, she wonders. And the other caterpillar tells her, you must want to fly so much that you are willing to give up being a caterpillar. You mean to die? Yellow asks. Yes and no, the other caterpillar responds. What looks like you will die, but what's really, you will still live. Life is not changed. Life is changed, not taken away. Yellow still isn't sold on this idea and wants to know how this dying but not dying works. The other caterpillar tells her, watch me. I'm making a cocoon. It looks like I'm hiding, but a cocoon is no escape. It is an in-between house where the change takes place. During the change, it will seem as if nothing is happening. But the butterfly is already becoming. It just takes time. So Yellow builds her cocoon, and after a season of waiting, she emerges, a beautiful yellow butterfly. Cocoons and in-between times are no escape. They are not death, but they are times of waiting and change and transformation. And for me in my Christian journey, it's the story of death and resurrection over and over and over again. It's the story of, yes, our eternal death and resurrection with Christ in heaven. But I have experienced multiple moments of deep change and transformation in these in-between times. And I want to tell you about one of those in-between times for me that was a particularly poignant period of my life. In 2006, we were living in Sun Valley, Idaho. Now, if you know anything about Sun Valley, Idaho, it is like Shangri-La. If you love the mountains, as I do, and you love the outdoors, and you love the idea of a small community that takes care of each other, and you get to know each other, and people who think broadly, and
And it's just this wonderful, perfect, idealistic place to live. That's where we lived for 8.5 years. I raised my children from when Mark was a little 1-year-old and Laura was 5 up until they were going into 4th grade and going into 8th grade. And then suddenly, Brian and I went out to dinner one night on a date together, which was a rare thing, having young children at home. And we looked at each other and we said, huh, I wonder where God is calling us next. So we knew the Spirit was moving. And he looked at what was out there as far as calls available in the church and came upon the search for the dean of the cathedral in Sacramento. He went and interviewed. I went with him. It just felt like absolutely that was the place that we were called to be. So we made the big decision to leave that cozy little life, kind of our Camelot, and move to Sacramento. We got there and Brian got deeply involved in ministry right away, and I intentionally took time to get our family settled. I had worked in the independent school in Sun Valley. I was first the admission and financial aid director and then the director of the upper school. It was a school that I loved. There's an amazing outdoor program, but I was working a lot of crazy hours. My kids went to school there, but I was busy. And I knew that a big move for us at those ages of our children, it would be good if I just kind of stayed at home. So my plan was to take about a year off. That lasted about 6 months. And I grew very restless. And I started putting out feelers, applying for jobs at schools in the Sacramento area. I would, you know, be like second, third pick, never chosen. And I was disappointed, but not crushed. And I, through this period of months, went through this phase of, it's kind of in a funk, because I knew that Brian was called absolutely where he was meant to be. I could see that, and I felt that. I knew that God wanted us there. But I had no idea what was going on for me in my life. And it was this, it was a time of darkness, a time of an in-between time, of going into this space where I just had to sit with it and be with it. That spring, Brian went to, this is about 8 months into living there, Brian went to a clergy retreat program called Credo. And it is there for clergy about every 5 to 7 years or so to go and encounter this experience where you look at your spiritual health, your financial health, your physical health, your mental health. And you basically come up with what's the next thing, what's the next goal that you need as a clergy person? What are you being called to do next? And it may not be to change jobs, but it may just be in your ministry or in your life. So Brian is there doing this. I'm at home with the kids. Get a call from him. And he says, Andrea, I think it's time for you to go to seminary. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're there working on your stuff. What are you telling me about my stuff? And he was right. It went right to my heart. And I had been running from a call to ordination for 20 years. Way, way, way back when we were baby lieutenants in Hawaii together. We'd been doing youth ministry together. I had been very involved in cadet chapel activities at West Point. And I knew that I was being called to ordination. I really felt called to become an Army chaplain. But I started doing a little bit of homework. First of all, there were no women clergy as role models. So it just, I had nobody to look at and say, oh, that's what this looks like. The assistant to the bishop for the armed forces came and visited Hawaii, and I had the blessing of having a meeting with him. He didn't say no, but it just sounded like it was going to be a long journey. I was like 23 then. He said, you know, you got to finish your commitment to the Army first. I'd be 28. And then I've got to go to seminary. Okay, that's 3 more years. That puts me at 27, and then 3 more years, that would put me at 30, and then I would have to do 2 years of parish-type ministry before I would become a chaplain. It's like, oh my gosh, I'd be 32 years old. I'd be ancient. And then there wasn't really, there were some people who said, when Brian answered the call and did go to seminary, and our rector got really behind it, lots of folks got behind it, there were a few who looked at me and said, Andrea, when are you going? I'm like, nope, not for me. I couldn't figure out how to make all of this happen, wanting to start a family, and there were no role models, and it just felt too complicated. So I said no. Fast forward 20 years, and there we are in Sacramento, and my husband says, look, we're meeting all of these women who have been to seminary, who are in this diocese, some at the cathedral, and they've commuted to seminary with children at home. We will figure this out and make this happen. And basically he said, do this now or never speak of it again. So I surrendered. I gave into it. And the doors flew open, one after another, to the point where at almost 49 years old, the Army let me back in as a chaplain, which just cracks me up. And I love what I'm doing. Absolutely love it. But that in-between time that began when we moved to Sacramento and then continued on through seminary and then some more discernment, it kind of through that period and immediately after, it was painful. It was this dark period of wondering, what's going to happen? Is this going to work? And just having trust in God that if I'm called to this, it's all going to work out. There was an NPR podcast, Radiolab, in 2014 about black boxes. And a black box being a thing where something goes into it, this mysterious thing happens while it's in there, and it comes out something, some way changed on the other side. The third of the series of things in this hour-long podcast speaks of metamorphosis, speaks of that period that the caterpillar goes into the chrysalis, into the cocoon, and transforms into a butterfly. And it was a wonderful podcast. I encourage you to find it online. But what the scientists discovered was they went ahead and they looked inside the pupa, the chrysalis, while a butterfly was being formed. They peeked inside, and you know, I kind of thought maybe it might be a caterpillar that's like sprouting legs and antenna and the wings, or getting rid of its legs and wings. No, it's a mushy, soupy, yellow mush that's inside there. Basically, the caterpillar goes in and just into this dark space, this place of transformation, and just becomes this soupy mass of proteins and things that don't look anything like a caterpillar or like a butterfly. But on the other side, when it comes out of the chrysalis, it is this beautiful butterfly. The other thing, they did some scientific testing, and they discovered that the caterpillar actually carried forward some of the memories that it had into its butterfly state. They had exposed it to some odors that were not very pleasant when it was a caterpillar, and then exposed the butterfly to those same odors, and it immediately avoided it. So it had taken part of who it was into that cocoon, had been transformed and came out as a butterfly, but still being part of who it was to start with. And then they looked at a caterpillar that was nearing going into the chrysalis and discovered that there was this very faint structure of wings and other things that would be part of the butterfly that it became. So everything that it would need was already there. Some of the things that it brought with it, it would remember in the future. God was works this mysterious, amazing transformation inside that chrysalis to reorder the cells of this part of creation to become something that is very different but still is part of who it was to start with. And that's what, for me, that period of transformation, of opening myself, letting myself be a soupy mass of bleh, to become what God was calling me to become really all along. But it enabled me to bring forward the things that I had learned, you know, as a young volunteer doing youth ministry. Those were part of me. Those were in me. Those were memories I had. Some of the amazing experiences that I had as part of Cadet Chapel experiences as a cadet. When I worked with young people, I spent a summer recently working with ROTC cadets during their difficult summer training. Those things that I knew that helped me were in me to be able to pass on to these young people. What I have learned, and that was not the only period of going into an in-between house in my life. But what I have learned from these experiences is that God wastes nothing. While we're waiting and wondering and pain, and sometimes we choose these experiences. Like Brian and I very much chose to follow this call to move to Sacramento. It was a very conscious choice for me. There are other times where things have come upon me. You know, there are deaths in the family, challenges with raising children, where it's not something that I would wish on me or anybody, and it's not something that I would ever want to relive, but on the other side of it, I can see how God was there through it all, reordering everything, reordering it, so that I would be transformed, the situation, our family would be transformed into something new and something beautiful. St. Ambrose is in a period of waiting, of change, of transformation. That's what an interim period is. It is an in-between time in which you are awaiting the call of your new rector. And we can sit and just let it all be, or we can pay attention. We can experience that sense, be open to that sense of transformation that happens in this in-between house, in this chrysalis that we are together in community. And as we do that over the months ahead, I want you to ponder individually for you, what is God revealing to you? I want you to watch. I invite you to watch for signs of Christ's presence and to let God transform whatever new and hopeful things are at work in you. It's what you are meant to become, is what Yellow heard that other caterpillar say. It flies with beautiful wings and joins the earth to heaven. It drinks only nectar from the flowers and carries the seeds of love from one flower to another. Become a butterfly. Brian and I had the gift of spending a Saturday morning, a good part of a Saturday, with members of this congregation as you recounted your history. And I know that you have been carrying the seeds of Christ's love for many, many years in this congregation, the way that you reach out to the homeless, the other ministries that you have done over the years that you continue to do. But I'm wondering, what other ways are you called to be open to the possibility of other ministries? And as we hang out in our community cocoon, in this chrysalis, during this in-between time of the interim period, waiting, changing, transforming, I wonder what God may be calling St. Ambrose Church to think about becoming. And it's not that it's going to happen during this period, but to be open to become in and beyond this in-between house as you await your new rector to arrive. How can the butterfly-ness of this congregation grow deeper than it already is? In what new ways might you fly with beautiful wings and join the earth to heaven? In what new ways might you drink nectar from the flowers and carry the seeds of Christ's love from one flower to another? What is the hope for the flowers in this interim season of waiting and changing and transformation? Amen.